Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we're privileged always and always and always to be before you, to gather before you in your name, for you to deal with each one in the way that you do. So here we are, God, in the light of the whole world, in the light of all the people and all the needs, and God, so deal with our heads and our hearts, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Psalm 33, we have the movement of thought that would help us understand God's creativity. And thus in chapter 33, picking up, please, in verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For reason he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood still, it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Now, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Now, so God, here you are, and in verse 8, let all the earth fear. The basis for that is to tremble, to quake. Fear, to tremble, to quake, to feel awe, to feel the awe, awesomeness. And thus you have, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. And that one, it means to turn around, to turn, to shrink back. In the light of something so awesome, you don't draw to it, you draw back from it. You turn aside, you draw back. Something so awesome. So we have, let all the earth fear the Lord, to tremble and quake. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe in the light of who he is, to draw back now in the light of who he is. Now hang on to that. Over, if you would please, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, we want to add to that, the whole world ought to pay attention to God. God is worthy of anyone's attention. He's the Creator. Isaiah 55 tells us about him, and remembering that which you are familiar with, going to verse 8, for my thoughts, I'll even read verse 7 for a little better context. For the wicked forsake his way, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we've got to change, turn around, repent, etc. Reason, for my thoughts, said God, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Reason, because the distance, the difference. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I want you to understand my thoughts that I have, that I think towards you, that are more than the sand of the sea. I want you to know that you want to appreciate who I am. You want to reverence and fear and stand in awe of who I am. And you want to understand that my ways and my thoughts are wonderfully, wonderfully different. Over, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 3. Ephesians God's ways and thoughts are wonderfully, wonderfully different. Now, and therefore, and how he does things, why he does them, when he does them. Ephesians chapter 3, for the believing heart, we ought to be reminded of the wonderment of this whole business of knowing God. Ephesians 3, picking up please in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So it is in our thoughts, because God's thoughts are higher than the heavens, and ours are way down here. And it isn't what we can do, no, it's what God can do, and what God does. And all of that that God thinks, and all of that that God does, involves the human heart. The believing heart is to able to enjoy the atmosphere. It'd be like being, if you would, in the middle of the Atlantic or Pacific or something, ocean. And everywhere you look is water, water, water. Far as the eye can see, water. We are engulfed in the atmosphere of God everywhere. Now, having said that, and God, what you do and how you do it is above all that we ask or think. It is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, if you would, one other place that will help us, over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And in the light of that, if we don't know God and we leave God out and we minimize and make God man-sized, we shrink God down to our thought, our understanding, what we like, don't like, how we feel, when we do it, don't do it, and etc., our casualness about the whole thing, indifference. Now, when that happens, what do we just lose? We just lost out on something wonderful. We just are missing out. Here we are living 7 days a week, most of us, 24 hours a day, and we're missing out. Now, God, what is the problem? Chapter 13, picking up please, an age-old problem. Going, if I can, to verse 14, or verse 13. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. By seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For, reason, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their heart is hard, and their ears are dull. And their eyes they have closed, lest at some time, so that at any time, they shall see with their eyes. They don't want to see. That's right. Lest they don't. That's why they're closed. They don't want to see. They don't want to hear with their ears. And should understand with their heart. They don't want to understand. Reason that they would be converted and I should heal them. They'd change their whole way of thinking. And they would fear me and stand in awe of who I am. But that isn't going to happen. No, we don't want that to happen. No, we don't, not in the world sense. Therefore, we miss out on God's mercy and grace. And in the light of that, God, we are here. We have no light. We have no right. It's all in wrongness. It's all, we're missing out. Plain bankrupt now. God, the Creator, has dealt, and it has dealt with the world. Is dealing with the world, with mankind, in the light of sin, God. We have a problem that you needed to solve, and you did it before the foundation of the earth by way of setting up the plan, which involved your Son, involved mercy and grace, involved the promised one. You remember in Genesis 3 and 15, the seed of the woman, There is no seed of the woman. Adam and Eve have had no children. No. But I want you to know, out of the woman will come, out of the woman will come a man, the promised one. Out of that woman will come the promised one. I keep my promises, said God. Now, hang on. Over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Picking up, if I may, chapter 9, may I go directly to verse 6. For unto us, remember now, promise, God made a promise, he's going to give the seed of the woman a child, a male child. For unto us, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child, that means someone who is born, like you were, is born. And the word there, the little verb to be born, is painstakingly done with great, great carefulness, great steadiness, great effort, energy is put into it. So the Spirit of God, in conceiving in the Virgin Mary's womb, was done painstakingly. God did it with great, great, like he did in the beginning, Genesis 1, 2. God, the Spirit of God formed it, the world and everything therein, in the universe. God, with painstaking effort and energy, moved wonderfully in that body of that young girl. Now, having said that, the child is born, and a son is given. A son is given, and thus a son is given. We shared together in Sunday school the incarnation, so that you would have that simple in your head, the nature's person of his wonderful, of who he is, so you can put that all together. Got that? Now, so you don't get confused. And thus, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name is going to be called by people a Wonderful Counselor. The word wonderful, wonderful, to be entirely, wonderfully incomprehensible, beyond human understanding, extraordinary, wonderful, incomprehensible. His name, they're going to call his name Wonderful. He's wonderful. He's the wonderful, wonderful one. Beyond any way to put it together. That's what you want. Something so wonderful that it will take all of God's foreverness for you to enjoy him. It'll take all of forever to know him. Now, God, wonderful, wonderful counselor, the seed of the woman, child is born. That's his human nature, and then his deity, his son is given. And in the process of that, he's the counselor. He's the counselor who never has counsel, never needs counsel. He represents, to resolve, counsel, to resolve, to make something firm, wise, determination. In making a decision, decisions, determination. He's a wonderful counselor, wonderful. And thus all who need support, all who need to have help and understanding, he's a wonderful counselor. He's a marvel of a counselor, an extraordinary counselor. If God, can you say something to our little heart in the light of all our mental stress, distress, depression, depletion, disappointment. Can you say something? Yes. And you don't have to pay $50. You have to have a bent heart. I can say plenty. I am an extraordinary counselor. I am. So when you want to allow me to counsel you, then hang on. Then let it happen. Because I'm a wonderful... So the child that is born, child that is born, going to be the seed of the woman, is a wonderful, awesome counselor. He is. Over right next door, you aren't far away, over to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And adding to that, if I may, 7 and 14. Therefore, going directly, remember, Ahaz wouldn't do whatever, and so it comes along that the Spirit of God comes and deals with Ahaz and says it himself. God says what he says. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, to bear a son is born, child is born, that's right. And here's the same verb. And God, a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son. And the name of that son is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew chapter 1, you have that now. So now, having said that, we've got a child that's to be born of a woman, promised. We have that he is awesome. The person is awesome. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, and et cetera, Prince of Peace. Now, everlasting Father. Wow. He's all of that. That's right. The one that's going to be born. He has to be born. Now, and he's going to be born of a virgin, not just any old human. No, just like we shared in Sunday school. Very, 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 very special, to say the least. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Micah and chapter 5, as you know. Micah and chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, all of the Old Testament pointing to the future in the light of the promise, Genesis 3:15, pointing to the future, all the scripture, the Lord said it more than once, all the scripture, if you read the scripture properly, you'll find me. You'll always find me, the promised one, down the road. So here we're looking at it, moving down the corridor of time. We have the advantage. We aren't in Isaiah's day. We aren't in Jeremiah's day. We're here. We have what they had plus. Now, Micah chapter 5, and in verse 2. Behold, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands. Now remember, here's all the families. There's all the 12 tribes of Israel. And here's one of the tribes, Judah. And of all the families in Judah, the thousands in Judah, there's a little place called Bethlehem. It's a little truck stop where you go through. And there's a gas station and a little store and get whatever, and you keep going. It's a very little place. Very insignificant. It is. Now, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little, insignificant, small, among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, the promised one, the wonderful counselor, the one born of the Virgin Mary, that one is going to come forth. He shall come forth to whom? To God. He's going to come forth to honor and look to and trust in Almighty God. That is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. They are always, always, always. He's always, always God. He became man. He became something he never was, a man. Now, thus, in the light of that, God has had something to say, and he said it. We have his record of it. God chose the fewest of all people, Israel, to be the nation, Deuteronomy 7. He chose the fewest. You could have picked a lot of people. No, I took the smallest group I could find, and I chose them. to make them a mighty nation by way of Egypt. That's what he did. Now, here's this very, very special people, and they have a very, very special purpose. Their purpose is to be a nation Deuteronomy 4, for all the nations to pay attention to. It's in a very special purpose, in a special place, the center of the earth, the center over there, Palestine, the city of all cities, the special city, Jerusalem, and special people, special place, special purpose, special city. Wow. And in the process, it has a very, to all nations, but there's more than that. It has a very, very special Judah, Benjamin, this woman, has a very, very special thing. God, you remember, you can go back to, without going back there, to Ruth and Boaz. Remember, Boaz marries Ruth, the Moabite. And you have Obed. Comes Ruth, Boaz, Obed, and Obed comes. Who comes out of Obed? Jesse. Who comes out of Jesse? David. Where are they born? In Bethlehem. Where does David live? In Bethlehem. Little. So here's this very special. Everything's so special. It is. So as we're just reminding ourselves how special it is, God can do all that he chooses to do in the way that he chooses to do it. So now God, you are omnipotent. I am. And I do what I do in the way that I choose to glorify my name, to make known the wonderful, awesome, to stand in awe and sin not, Psalm 4. Stand in awe before me and sin not. Wow. Now, in the light of that, so God, you're going to step into creation. You made a promise, Genesis 3:15, that you're going to do it. And we have a clue of where, who, how. We got it. We're going to do it. That's right. I'm going to step into creation the way that I choose. I, the infinite God, I'm going to take finite creation. And remember that all of the billions, trillions, sextillions, stars, galaxies, there they are, numbers beyond numbers. God said, I did all of that. And all of that is small. The universe is small. Trillions and trillions of light years. Small. I am infinite, said God. Now, what are you going to do, God, that's so awesomely wonderful? I'm going to go and step into my creation, and I'm going to go and take that which is finite, small, and I'm going to go and give it infinite dimensions. I'm going to go and to give my name and my nature by way of earthly things. I'm going to make myself known in a most unique way. Now, remember when I do, are they ready for it? I prepared. Israel was to be the voice. Everyone know how it's going to be. But no one's prepared. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. And you would remind yourself, John looking back, he's the last living apostle. Looking back, he gives you the broad, big, biggest picture there is till the Lord comes. John chapter 1, picking up please in verse 10. He was in the world, 1 and 10. He was in the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. The people that should know, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They did not know. Oh, can it be, O little town, little lowly girl, insignificant people, place, person. Wow, most insignificant. It is. Over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, picking up, please, if I can, remember verse 34. I'm just giving you, trying to move right along to get where we're going here. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? How can I have a child? I'm not married yet. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, born, remember, child is born, shall be called what? A son is given, shall be called the Son of God. He should be called the Son of God. That's correct. Now, Mary, what is it? Why did they pick? Who are you, Mary? We don't know a thing. You're just nobody. You're in a crummy little town, as it were, compared to the big city, Jerusalem. You're in a little town. You're a little nobody. We know nothing about you, your background, nothing. You chose her. God, you did. Uh-huh. Why? Because, verse 37, for God, 1 and 37 of Luke, for with God nothing shall be impossible, no word shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, which is the word nothing up above, be it according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary, what did you do? If God, you said it, Mary said, do it. She was very simple. Just like we were all supposed to be in Revelation chapter 1. We were all supposed to have a childlike heart and to understand the Creator. Obviously, directly, and God would make himself known to every human being then, now, and forever of who he is. But you know, we get hard and lose it. And our ability, the capacity, we cut it short. And what? We have nothing. We have nothing. God, Mary, what did you do? You're just a young girl. God said to me, if I don't need a husband, then you do, God, what you do so well. If you say it, God, then you can do it. That's why God picked her. She believed God. That's all. She wasn't a big shot. She was just a little. And you know, God gives the word without, we can't do all of that. Highly favored. She's blessed of all women. She was willing to let God be God. And the church, in Ephesians 1, 6 and 7, is blessed. The only other place, remember, the word is used. Of all people in the earth, they are so highly favored to know him. To be part of his body. Ah, wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind if I can. God, if you said it, you'll do it. Be it according to your word. What's impossible for humans is quite possible for you, God. And so Israel had settled into a state of hopelessness, unbelief, no joy. The world, by the way, was buying and selling, power, politics, and doing the ordinary thing. They had no knowledge of God. They had plenty of religion, but no knowledge of God. But then God taking the ordinary, God did an extraordinary thing. He's going to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary to make possible the intended ordinary. He's going to take the ordinary and do something extraordinary to make it what he intended it to be was ordinary. What he wanted to be ordinary. Now, so in the light of that, if you would. So God, you're going to make possible the intended ordinary. I am. I created Adam and Eve and humans to be in my image and likeness. And remember, we share together, that is the derived image. God, humans, Think of the mirror again. We did it. There's the mirror. You look in the mirror. God designed humans so when he looked at them, he would see himself. When he looked at them, he would find himself. That's the ordinary. That's ordinary. It's going to take something extraordinary to bring back the ordinary. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the mirror image, if you would, derived image. So now, God, here we are, and you're going to go, and you have a promised one. You made a promise, and you're going to keep the promise. I am. Now we need to add something else, if we can, over to Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. And picking up, if I can, in chapter 2, going to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, so far, we've got God, who is God. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. It was. And in the light of that, God, having no problem being who he was. It's easy to be who you are. And thus he became, took himself, no reputation. The word reputation means to be empty, not having obtained anything. We have the little expression empty-handed, nothing in your hands, empty-handed. It means he put aside his deity for his humanity. We did that in Sunday school with the incarnation. He put aside his deity, put his wonderful person, and he put it aside so that he could give a wonderful exercise, a relationship to a human, a perfect human, made a body found in the Virgin Mary, fully human, perfectly human, having a wonderful human nature, that God could take that human nature and unite himself, clothe himself, incarnate himself into that God, wonderful nature, God's nature, human nature, one person. We did that. So now, having said that and keeping that aside, putting it aside, his deity, put aside his deity for his humanity. That's what he did. He wanted his humanity to be there. And he did that. He took him, no reputation. He emptied himself. Now hang on to that. And you want to add in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he's going to go and humble himself. Not only is he going to put aside his deity and not express it, he could. He became the mediator of the God-man in Christ Jesus, the promised one now. And so he humbled himself. He had to be mindful of his condition. He went down and humbled. He, being God, became a human. He, being God, became a human, ordinary human, perfect body, that's true. But he came just lowly. Where did the body come from? From the dust to the ground. Dust to the ground, it did. Deity finds its home in dust. So now, God, he not only took no reputation, he came all the way, he put aside his wonderful deity, God, power, wonderful, in order to make something happen wonderful for us. Now, in the process, and he humbled himself in doing so. He knew our condition and state, and he lowered himself down to become flesh and blood. Now, over, if you would, one other place, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. And you want to add, no reputation, he humbled himself. God being God, he stepped down and became a simple human. Just a human. Where was he born? Born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea with a body, soul, spirit. Wow. Now, so God, and you did that in order to die. I did. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, God, is there another benefit for us? Absolutely. Chapter 8 and verse 9. For we, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 8, 9, 2 Corinthians, that though he was rich, the little word rich means very rich. It means overflowing rich. It means overflowing everywhere. Riches, riches and riches. Yet, for your sakes, he became poor, a beggar, having nothing. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He who was majestically, wonderfully God became a man. And we who are poor, he became poor so that we, verse 9, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty, his bankruptcy, his emptiness, his beggarliness, might be rich. God, you became like us so that we could become like you. I did that. I did something wonderful. I told you how it was going to be. No one had to be in any doubt of how it's going to be. How wonderful is it going to be? Well, I'm going to do something that no one believes it. That's why the Jews couldn't believe it. No one wants to believe it. God, you're wonderful, but we don't see it. We just know that you're out of our reach and different, and God will try to live with our religions and our gods and our system, and we'll try to live knowing there's something or someone bigger than we are outside of us. Now. So here, God, his humbling required what? It required. What did it have to do to humble himself? He had to do something wonderful. Now, he could have come forth, you know. He could have come forth as the jolly green giant. And he could have stepped into Jerusalem and Bethlehem 90 feet tall, made of steel. What would you do now? Would the world pay attention to him? And if we make him like Superman, he can fly and go everywhere and do everything. Are you impressed? Is everyone impressed in the world? Absolutely, they're impressed. Wow! Wow! What a giant! Superman! A person's coming. I don't want to get into Superman. Because Superman has to deal with Batman and has to deal with everybody, so. Now, in the light of that, God, what did you do? I had to be born. It was required that I be born a baby. I had to identify with humanity. I had to identify with the seed of a woman. I couldn't come as a great giant. I had to come as a baby. Because, you see, the baby came from the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary is in the line of Adam. She belongs in the line. She's part of all of humanity, like the body. And she, I must come and identify with all of, from Adam all the way to the end. I must identify with every human being. The only way I can do that, I can't become a unique big Superman. I have to be born of the Virgin Mary as a little baby. I have to be born, and I have to identify with the line of Adam. I have to, it's so weak, so small. A baby. You know, the most helpless stage of all animals, I think, is a human baby. A human baby takes much longer and needs much more care than the baby elephant does. God, what did you do? I became the weakest thing you could know, the most helpless thing you could know, the littlest thing you can know. I became a baby. You, the omnipotent God, a baby that needs its diapers changed. What do you think of that? God said, I want to make an impression on you. I hope I got your attention. A little baby. And the wise men got it. They came all the way from Babylon over there, traveled along hundreds of miles to get to see the little child, little baby. They traveled because they read Micah 5:2, etc., probably, and came. Wow. They did. So here, God, so weak, so small. Weak. Little. And almighty power you have. Right, I do. You are the omnipotent God in a little baby who can't do anything without some help. Uh-huh. That's who I am. You have to let that sink in. God, you do that for me. You did that for me, you know. For unto you this day is born what? For unto you, this day, is born this day in the city of David, a baby. For you. I got it. I got it. Go on. And you got it. Well, you got it. Wait. In the light of your almighty power, God. And then to boot, to add to that. And then you're telling us, God, that in your poverty, you can't be poorer than a little baby, just born. Little baby has nothing. They don't even have diapers unless you give it to them. Baby can't do anything. Nothing. Just lay there. Wow. God, the omnipotent God, I am. And I'm going to take, and that little baby, that's what I'm going to put myself in. I'm going to put myself in that. And I'm going to wrap it. I'm going to wrap the baby. I'm going to wrap it. I'm going to bind, cover that baby with swaddling clothes, a little, like a long cloth, diaper-like. And I'm going to wrap the little baby. We're going to wrap the little baby. I'm going to do that. What do you think of that? I'm going to give it a little cloth to wear. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to let it be found not in a wonderful Hyatt or some other hotel. I'm going to let it be found in a manger where the animals are fed and kept. That's what I'm going to do. No, that can't be. Well, that's true. That's what they thought. They didn't want to do that, no. And so now, here's all this weakness in the light of God's awesome person. God's awesome person. So now, God, here's your wonderful weakness shown. Your weakness shows what? Your power. Your wonderful power. Uh-huh. Wow. So here we are, God. And we talked about the riches become rich. And he's the Word. He's the Word become flesh, you know. And now here's the little baby in there. A little baby. And God is omniscient. He's a wonderful counselor, all-knowing. Now, God, I want to talk to the baby. The wise men make believe they came earlier than they did, and when he was a little baby in the manger. And they're going to come, and they're going to bend down to the little baby in the manger and going to say, listen, we're so delighted you're here and that you've done this for us. And the little baby will say, thank you. Thank you very much. I've been waiting for this since forever. And would the baby say that? What will the baby say? Nothing. You mean the Word become flesh starts with nothing. That's right. Nothing. He only cries. Do you know how loud that cry was? It was for the whole world to see. He's the promised one, the promised seed of the woman. He cried. God exposed himself in that little baby. Wonder of wonders. He did that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but the baby can't say anything. All I can do is cry. Oh, how loud. How loud the cry. And God, what did you tell us about this little baby? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. hear him. And he will go all the way to Calvary's cross. Hear him again. John 19, it is finished. It is finished. Did you hear, my son? The one who said it is finished is the one who cried, wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, bound in cloth, and God allowed himself to be bound with human flesh. God did that for me, for us. Wow. So in the light of that, God, in the light of your grace, we want to learn from it. I want to learn. I don't want to bypass the wonderment of a baby's cry. That you became a baby to save me. Uh-huh. You did. And you speak very loud. Most of the world doesn't. No one wants to hear. Who wants to think of a God becoming a baby? That's because they don't understand who they are. They are humans with a body, soul, and spirit. And they are not an accident. They are not a freak. God made them. Wonderfully made them. And the world is, all right, stupid about the whole thing. And in the name of intellect and academic, totally missing out. Wow. Because God, it is so, we need to get saved. That's right. The Word needs to become flesh. And I need to know, and I need to know you as my Lord and Savior. And if we took time in John 1:12, you would have read, not as many, and he came unto his own received him not, verse 12, but as many as received him. So God, here we are, sitting here, this season of the year, Christmas season, and looking and reminding ourselves of a wonderful, wonderful God. A wonderful God who spoke. The biggest thing he ever did was to become a little baby. And the loudest thing he ever said was to cry. Why? Because you're contrasting little and infinite. You're contrasting cry with all knowledge. God spoke from Mount Sinai in thunder and fire. And he went to Moses in a little bush and said, Moses, Moses. And God went into the and dwelt a little baby, and he cried and said, do you hear me? Do you understand why I am a baby? Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy. God, we look to you to help us understand. God, it's all of this is beyond us, beyond me, God. God, my God, thank you very much. And for those who know not you as their Lord and Savior, for real, for right, God, deal with their head and heart even now. Not only here, but across the world. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps we could sing 103, I think. 103.